This is The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to innovators and policymakers on how to better feed the world. My name is Gloria Nzeka, and I'm your host. In this second part of the series on sustainability in the Michigan dairy industry, Quinn Zimmerman continues her discussion with Brooke Wilkie, the farm manager, and Howard Straub, the dairy manager at Michigan State's Kellogg Biological Station, Pasture Dairy Center. Today, the focus is on robotic milking.
In part two of this two-part series on dairy, farm manager Brooke Wilkie and dairy manager Howard Straub of the Kellogg Biological Station discuss robotic milking systems. Robotic milking technology was first developed in Europe in 1992 and did not reach the United States until 2000. The Kellogg Pasture Dairy Center was one of the first farms in Michigan to receive a robotic milking system in 2009. Howard Straub discusses some background information on how this came to be.
In 2007, a lot of the faculty got together and they decided to propose a grant to the Kellogg Foundation in an effort to facilitate research that would help a smaller farm base, smaller farms and smaller farm base. They proposed installing and creating a pasture dairy, the Pasture Dairy Center, which is what we have today, which utilizes both grazing as a method of producing milk and also utilizes robotic milking.
Robotic milking is a voluntary milking system in which cows decide when they want to be milked. The Kellogg Biological Station Pasture Dairy website has a useful diagram that explains how this system works. Essentially, each cow has an electronic collar that allows the robotic system to identify it, track its health, diet, and milk production. When the cow enters, the robot uses lasers to locate and clean each teat. The robot then collects and analyzes the milk and administers nutritional supplements to the cow based on the milk quality.
As an effort to bring technology, more technology to smaller dairies and also help with the labor situation on a smaller dairy. Originally, the industry kind of thought that the robotics would be mainly for smaller dairies, but now what they're realizing is that dairies of all sizes are taking advantage of the robotic milking.
As Howard mentions, the robotic milking system alleviates some of the need to find workers on a dairy farm. This is particularly relevant in Michigan today, where there's a shortage of dairy labor due to the long hours, unconventional schedules, and general lack of willing and available workforce.
What specific benefits does the mechanical milking allow?
So besides labor savings, which depending on the size of farm may or may not be the largest aspect of it, and I say that because a large dairy is very efficient milking their cows with the number of people it takes. So it may not take any less people to milk the cows, but the robotic milking does a more consistent job milking the cows as far as the quality of the work that's done. It doesn't vary as much. It's not as variable, and that's great for the cows. The other situation is, and depending on how you're implementing the robotic milking, it's a different system for the cows itself. The system that we run, and a majority of the robotic milkers that are in the U.S. right now, are a system in which the cows can choose to get milk.
Brooke continues to explain some of the benefits of robotic milking.
The robotic milking system kind of allows for a little bit more, I don't like to use the word natural, right? Because that can be used in different ways, but it a little bit more mimics what would happen in an unmanaged place, right? If a cow had a calf, they're gonna get milked by the calf, you know, different times, multiple times of the day. So it gives the cow a little bit more flexibility. You get to treat the cow as an individual. You don't put them all into one box and manage them all the same, right? And I think that's an important point that in a lot of things that we're trying to do, we're trying to mimic what happens in nature without human intervention because it works.
And that's something that works with both pasture and conventional.
Absolutely.
Dairies?
So right now in the U.S., we have about 2% of the U.S. the cows milking in the U.S. are milked with robots. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot of cows.
The USDA estimated that there were 9,400,000 dairy cows in the United States in 2018. 2% of that would be 188,000 cows.
They project that robotic milking will be about 30% of the cows by 2030. It's growing really fast.
Do you see this as part of the solution to help the big hit on dairy industries right now?
There's quite a bit of investment involved, right?
One robot, which can usually handle around 60 cows, costs an average of $200,000.
Robotics can improve the management situations of certain cows and certain dairies. What we find is the structure, the management structure in place really does affect what the outcome is for the robots that are being used. So if you have an excellent management structure and good management before you put robots in, it's very likely you're going to get the most use and utilization improvement out of those robots. If you have a questionable management situation for certain dairies, while you may improve some, you may not get the most out of your robots, right? Because robots are a tool and they don't necessarily automatically change the culture of a certain dairy.
So robotic milking works well in an already well-managed system. It is a large investment upfront, but pays off in the long run. Howard elaborates on some of the challenges and payoffs of the investment.
Were there any unexpected challenges with starting up the robotic milking? Like,
yeah, startups are always interesting. Since we've been doing them for so long now, the Pasture Dairy Center had the second and the third robot in the state of Michigan. We're well over 170 permitted robots in Michigan now, over 2,000 in the U.S. just of this one company. So we're probably about 4,000 robots in the U.S., pretty close to that many in Canada as well. What we learned as far as the startups go is the cows are really adaptive, very trainable. One of the things I think they learned earlier was that the cows that you normally have a hard time with training to get milked, so say a first lactation heifer that has never been milked before, so she just has a calf and now she's due to get milked. What we're finding is that they actually take to the robots a lot faster than, say, an older cow that is being transitioned to robotic milking and has to get used to a new form of milking. So that was a little bit unexpected. They kind of assumed that the difficult ones would be the young ones, but it's really the difficult ones are some of the older ones that have habits and things and what they're used to, right? And we're trying to change what they're used to. But in the end, almost all of the cows, and a very high percentage, provided they have the udder confirmation to get milked by a robot, it's 98-99% of them will eventually get trained.
In addition to the learning curve of some older cows to get used to the robots, some farmers also have a hard time adapting to the new system.
Well, I can tell you this right now. The transition for some of the farmers that have been doing this a certain way for 34 years is much harder. The transition for the cows, right? By far. The cows will do it much faster, much easier than the transition for the actual people.
Another challenge of robotic milking is the specialized labor required for fixing and installing machines, as Howard continues.
You may hire less labor, but the labor you do hire has to be higher quality labor. Yep. Yeah. But what's really improved for somebody starting now versus somebody who was starting back when KBS started, right? When we started, we had very few technicians in the area that could work on these, right? We were essentially, those technicians were learning on the job. When something went wrong at KBS, they got to figure out, at the Pasture Dairy Center, they got to figure out what went wrong, and it may take a certain amount of time to do that, right? The next time that happens, they already know what's wrong with the technique, and it's a really easy, quick fix. So we've really developed in this area, especially in this area of Michigan, but certainly in the Midwest, and now they're starting to develop it a little bit more out west, expertise base, which makes it a lot easier for guys to get in and have questions answered when they come up. We're getting better at training cows. We're getting better at at training people, right? We're getting a lot better at training management on running dairies.
And what would you say is the payback rate investment of
robotic milking? See, so we used to think that the payback on this investment was about 12 years. And that was with some conservative numbers. But now with the labor shortage in the U.S., the increase in labor cost, the decrease in robotics cost, because you got to think of a robot as just a big computer that's milking cows. And the retail price on a new robot that has a significant amount of improvements from the one, say, we have right now, has dropped 30%. So it's no different than what, our laptops were in 2009. We want a really good laptop. We're probably paying $1,200, $1,400 bucks. Something we can now today, go in for, $350, get a decent laptop that can outperform something we had in 2009. but the cost is much less. And technology is actually lowering the cost and increasing the or decreasing the amount of payback time. So I don't know if I mentioned this, but I think we're about 7 years and dropping.
As Howard mentions, as the demand and technology improvements of these robots increase, the price is decreasing and more farms are able to acquire the systems. The payback rate for the Kellogg Pasture Dairy Center was 7 years, but this figure varies based on each individual farm.
And do you see a lot of room for improvement in the technology?
Wow. You know, what people come up with amazes me. When we started, we had the top of the line robot in 2009. And for instance, we know, you know, we have essentially their Fitbit for cows. We know all their activity, accelerometers on them. And this is technology we've had since 2009. We know how many minutes a day they eat. Cows are ruminants, and so they spend a lot of time chewing food that they haven't previously chewed. So it's very important for their health, and we can monitor that. We know how many chews per bolus, right? We've known all of those things. But since we installed those robots, now they've added things like somatic cell counters. So we know how many white blood cells are in the milk. That will give us a really great indication of health. They've added fat and protein readings. So for every cow that's coming through, I know how much, what the percentage of fat and what the percentage of protein, what the percentage of other solids are in that milk for each cow every time they come through. It's amazing with the technology, the valves, the new valves, the new cylinders, how they've improved that experience for the cow and for the farmer. But I think ultimately the goal, the overriding goal, is to make that as comfortable of a situation for the cow as possible. You want the cow, since in our situation, the cow has to choose to go get milked. Well, we want to do everything possible to let that cow choose to do that.
The increase in robotic milking systems are benefiting both cows and farmers across Michigan, the United States, and countries around the world. Thank you to Brooke Wilkie and Howard Straub for sharing their insights from the Kellogg Biological Station. And thank you for listening. This has been Quinn Zimmerman with The Food Fix.
What are some of the initiatives that you think could help sustain Michigan's dairy industry? Send us your comments or questions at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com or leave us your comments and questions in the comment section below this post. The Food Fix is a production of the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism at Michigan State University. My name is Gloria Nzeka. Thank you for listening. What are some of the initiatives that you think could help sustain Michigan's dairy industry? Send us your comments or questions at foodfixpodcast.com, at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com, or leave us your comments or questions in the comment section below this post. The Food Fix is a production of the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism at Michigan State University. My name is Gloria Nzeka. Thank you for listening.